The subject of our study this afternoon comes from Richard Sibbes' chapter 8 called Duties and Discouragements. And he starts off with a question that I'm going to pose to you. Maybe you felt this way at some points. The question is, should we perform duties when our hearts are not in it? So let's think about that together a little bit first before we turn and see what the scriptures say about it and what Sibbes guides us. Should we perform duties if our hearts are not in it? You know what I'm talking about? I see some nodding, yes. The question is there for a reason. Have you ever wrestled with that? Have you ever thought, well, my heart's not really in it, so why bother? Have you ever had that? Maybe you're more sanctified than I am. I've had that thought. And the thought goes something like this. How is it that I can pray when I'm so distracted? How is it that I can read my Bible when I'm so dry, spiritually speaking? How is it that I can serve God when I know that my heart is so far away? What good is doing the duty when my heart isn't in it? Scripture has some answers to that, as does, and Sibbes summarizes those. If you haven't read the chapter, that's fine. Let me ask you, how do you answer that question? Mary and then Jack. Mary first. Okay. That's very true. It's a vicious cycle that has a downward spiral that you say, well, I feel so separated from God, so I'm not going to do anything to be connected to God, and it is a downward spiral, isn't it? Jack?
I was thinking of the parable of the two brothers, and the one who was, father told him to go and do something, and he said, yeah, I'll go and do it, and the other one said, no, I won't go and do it, and the one who said he would didn't, and the other one who said he wouldn't. So which one did the right thing? The one who said he wouldn't do it, the one who did what he was supposed to do, even because he knew it was his duty. So I think we have to do our duty, even if we don't feel like we do it, because we're commanded by God to do our duty, whether we like it or not. And then when we do our duty, then He changes our whole attitude about the situation.
Good point. I hadn't thought of that parable. It's a great application of that parable. The one that's praised by Christ in that parable is the one who eventually did go and do as the Father requested, even though he had said he would not at the beginning, but then does. Yeah. What else? Let me add a couple thoughts to what's been said already. Those are several excellent applications and several excellent applications of God's Word to help us to know that, yes, indeed, doing our duty is part of obedience, and there are some reasons for that. To start off with... is to recognize the very nature of the battle in which we are engaged is the putting off of the old man that Paul talks about and the putting on of the new. And it is a battle that we engage in. It's not an necessarily easy process. We do have a new nature. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 that the old is passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Our natures are changed, but the Bible also talks about the process of sanctification. And the process is one that has terminology of battle in it, and has the terminologies of going to wage war against that which is entrenched in our habits or in sinful desires. And so the putting off of the old and putting on of the new is something that doesn't happen without a fight. Our hearts are reluctant, says Sibbes, to give up their liberty. And liberty in this case, he means not the Christian liberty, but the giving up of the autonomous liberty of doing as I please to take on the yoke of Jesus Christ. And the old nature does not surrender very easily. It doesn't just give up. There's some exercise that's necessary. Earlier in the spring, I hurt my ankle and playing some soccer, and I had a practice of doing some jogging earlier before that, and for about 6 or 8 weeks, I couldn't jog very well, and now I'm back into that jogging routine, and it's hard. I want to be where I was back in April, and to have the stamina and the endurance that I had at that point. But it's been discouraging to try to get back up to that level, because it decayed so rapidly. And I could just following in Sibbes's example here, this is a discouragement. There's something of a warfare that goes on before I go jogging. And that warfare is the mental kicking of myself to get out and do something I don't really want to do, and it's hard. And yet I always feel better after I go, and it's slowly getting back to where I was. But I'll lie in bed and think of reasons why I shouldn't get up this morning and not go jogging. That's the type of battle that it is. We have the same type of discouragement spiritually. A failure or a setback will take us, will make us lie in bed and reason why bother, why try. And and those setbacks are setbacks not just one step, but it's almost like jogging. It takes a while to get worked back up. It may just be seemingly one slip up or one step back that then takes effort to recover. And that's just an understanding of the biblical nature of mankind, that there's the process of sanctification is a process. The second thing that Sibbes mentions is something that both Jack and Mary mentioned, is that as we set about our duty, that God strengthens the influence that He has in us through that. Someone once asked me, "Well, should I have devotions when I don't feel like having devotions?" And it's the question of, do I do the duty or do I wait till I feel like it? And the observation is that if you wait till you feel like it, that probably won't happen. But God does give grace as we pursue the things of the Lord. It's an active aspect of the Christian life that we do put on the things of the Lord. There's a putting off that takes place, and then there's a putting on of the fruit of the Spirit, a putting on the deeds of the new nature. And as we pursue those things, God is gracious by degrees as we exercise that He strengthens us. And as He helps us to overcome those besetting sins, God is glorified through those things. The third thing that Sibbes points out is that obedience is most seen when it's the most difficult. If it's easy, then obedience is not that hard. So if your parents said, make sure you eat all your ice cream, something you delight in, then obedience is not shown as a Christian grace at that point. But if it's a duty that is difficult, then God's grace and God's obedience is shown especially. Finally, the fourth thing that he points out is that the comfort that God gives corresponds directly to the aversion that we had to begin with, that which is being overcome. In other words, there's a reward that follows after the work that is put out, and that God does grant peace and comfort. I want you to turn to Psalm 42, just to see as an example of overcoming discouragement. I want you to notice in this passage some of the aspects of the duty that is pursued in Christian faith and hope, as well as the reward that comes from that, how God grants blessing and hope in the midst of that. And I also want you to see the discouragements. There are a variety of discouragements that come up in this psalm, from the external, as there are enemies that swarm around, as well as internal, where the psalmist is speaking to himself and is wondering about the dryness that he's experiencing, and when will he see the face of God. I go to the very back row to read, if I could, today's. And so you may get left out sometimes. So could I start back with, is that Susanna in the back? You have a Bible ready to read, Susanna? Psalm 42. And let's read a verse apiece. We'll read across the back row and then come forward, snake up to the front. Psalm 42, beginning in verse 1.
Wow.
Very good. What are some of the discouragement that the psalmist faced?
The oppression of the enemy.
Mm-hmm. The enemies are real that are around us. And the psalmist faced those, as do we. There are troubles that beset us. What else? Greg?
Men.
Troubles from men, yeah. What else?
He appears to be alone. He remembers when you would go with God's people, but he is no longer with God's people.
That has both an external and an internal aspect to it, doesn't it? The isolation, whether it be real, whether he is cut off from fellowship, or whether it's an internal loneliness. You can be lonely in a crowd. You can be cut off from fellowship, even though you are there amongst God's people. So there's an external and an internal element to that, isn't there? What's it mean when the deeps call into deeps and waterfalls and waves and billows have gone over me? Probably wasn't shipwrecked, but what's he talking about here? Say that again. Yeah, the cares of the world. They can be like being overwhelmed in a shipwreck, being overwhelmed by wave after wave of despair. On that note, let me turn and find sources of encouragement. Whose waves are those? Look at the verses again. Verse 7. Say that again.
God's
waves. Yeah. God's sovereign presence in our trials is one that encourage us in the midst of the trial and encourages us in our duties as well. We may be overwhelmed by the sense of aloneness, or the sense of being cut off from the fellowship of God's people, or the fellowship with God, but that does not mean that God is not present. And the psalmist, in a sense, reassures himself in the midst of that despair that God is present, and assures himself of God's sovereignty in the midst of the trial that he's facing. He's the one who brought me to this point. Not only that, he's brought me there for a purpose. God is working purity. God is working refinement in us. In several places in the New Testament, God talks, or the New Testament talks about how God brings a refining fire to the Christian's life. Peter talks about it in his letter to the churches. in several instances because of the persecution that they were facing. Paul talks about it to the Corinthians in chapter 2 of his first letter. He talks about the refining fire of God. He has a purpose in the things that that we suffer. And more than that, God will help us. Back to Psalm 42, in verses 9 and 10, the psalmist says, "Here's my help. God is my rock." He's just described the waves of a shipwreck and the billows of being overwhelmed by discouragement. Where does he turn for stability, for a foundation? To God, who is his rock. He knows that there is help when the enemies surround and when he is overwhelmed by his own discouragements. He also goes to the house of God. He goes to worship. And this is a beautiful aspect of this psalm and about the pursuing of duties in the midst of discouragements. Here's the psalmist saying, this is my trial. This is my experience. He cries out very honestly, "God, why have you forgotten me? Why am I cut off?" And much like Mary has said, the temptation is then to retreat from the things of God because my heart's not in it. You could follow this person's thought process and think, I'm so far from God that how could I even begin to go to worship? How could I go and fellowship with God's people or fellowship with the Lord? And yet he does go to God personally, directly in his prayers and in his praise. And he goes through the means of grace that are provided through worship. And that's one of the special things that the Lord has given to us, is that as we pursue God, that he pours out his blessing on those things. Richard Sibbes wrote this chapter or this sermon, it says in one of the footnotes, for a communion season, for a time when they were celebrating the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And he underlines especially how God uses the sacraments as special tokens of his love for us, and how those are given to us as a reminder that when I go to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise and with the multitude who keep that holy day, that as I remember these things, it's not just a source of, or it is not a source of discouragement or longing, but it's a source of encouragement. God has given the sacraments to strengthen us, and the sacraments heighten our awareness of Christ dwelling in us. It also heightens our understanding of our need because it illustrates the sin in our lives because God is holy. And I think Psalm 42 illustrates that as well, that the psalmist understands his own sins. And yet he says to himself, he says to his soul, "Why are you cast down within me? Hope now in God. He is my help. He is my shield." Psalm 42 is an example of following after the Lord in the midst of discouragements and how we pursue the duties of the Christian life and how God pours out his grace in the midst of them. Richard Sibbes follows that theme and develops it in this chapter in some ways that he has already, and I'm not going to elaborate on them anymore this afternoon. I've dwelt especially on dealing with discouragement because I think it is an affliction that we as believers go through on a regular basis. And I hope that you would see the instead of the downward spiral of the discouragements that plague us, and how a relinquishing of the means of grace and the duties of God just serves to further that downward spiral. And I hope that you'd see then a deliberate upward spiral that comes from the pursuit of the means of grace, of laying hold of God through the means He's provided. I'm going to close there and ask for any questions or further comments that you'd like to make. Thank you for your time this afternoon. We'll dismiss in a word of prayer. Let's bow together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have such an honest psalm and an honest scriptures to help us in times of discouragement. We pray, Lord, that you would be gracious towards us. And I'm glad that you bear with our infirmities as we have been led to consider throughout this study. We thank you for the servant of the Lord who is gentle towards us and does not break a bruised reed or snuff out a flickering candle. Lord, as we face the discouragements of the process of sanctification and the battle against the old nature, I pray, God, that you would help us to see the duty in which we are called, that you would pour out yourself generously as we pursue the things of the Lord. May those means of grace supply in abundant fashion the needs that we have. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.